Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Father God, I thank you for everybody that's present here tonight, God, under the sound of my voice, God. I ask that you bless them through your word on tonight, Lord God, so that your name may get the glory. Set me down, Lord God, and use me mightily tonight, Lord God, for your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Prolific Fire, everybody. I am your humble host, Prophet Stacy. Thank you for taking the time to join me on tonight. I pray that the word of the Lord will be a blessing unto you. Let's get right into it for tonight. The foundational text comes from 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 6 through 16. There's 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 6 through 16 from the ICB, the International Children's Bible. Peninnah would upset Hannah and make her feel bad. She did this because the Lord had made Hannah unable to have children. This happened every year when they went up to the tent of the Lord at Shiloh. Peninnah would upset Hannah until Hannah would cry and not eat anything. Her husband, Elkanah, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you crying? Why won't you eat? Why are you sad? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" Once, after they had eaten their meal in Shiloh, Hannah got up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair. He was sitting on a chair near the entrance to the Lord's holy tent. Hannah was very sad. She cried much and prayed to the Lord. She made a promise. She said, "Lord of heaven's armies, see how bad I feel. Remember me. Don't forget me. If you will give me a son, I will give him back to you all the days of his life. And no one will ever use a razor to cut his hair." While Hannah kept praying, Eli washed her mouth. She was praying in her heart. Her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Thought she was drunk. He jumped to conclusions and thought she was drunk. So Eli thought she was drunk. He said to her, "Stop getting drunk. Throw away your wine." Hannah answered, "No, master, I have not drunk any wine or beer. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I was telling the Lord about all my problems." She goes on to say to Eli the priest, "Don't think of me as an evil woman. I have been praying because of my many troubles." Again, that's 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 6 through 16, ICB. Distance. I want you to notice the distance on tonight. Shiloh was located in the hill country of Ephraim, approximately 20 miles, that's 32 kilometers, north of Jerusalem. Elkanah's journey would have covered this distance every year. So every year they traveled about 20 miles or so to get to Shiloh. So after traveling 20 miles or so to get to Shiloh and be present in the tent of the Lord, Hannah came to the house of the Lord upset and feeling bad. Thanks to Peninnah, who made it her business to pick at Hannah, to provoke her, to remind her that the one thing she wanted the most is the one thing that she had. And that thing was children. Peninnah had children. Hannah didn't. And she desperately wanted a child. But God, for whatever reason, was keeping her barren, unable to have children. And what did Peninnah do? She used that information to her advantage, every chance she could get. So after journeying for so long with Peninnah and the children she had by Elkanah, the husband, they both shared, trying to get to the temple of the Lord, Hannah showed up upset. She showed up feeling bad. She showed up feeling upset and feeling bad. She showed up upset and feeling bad. But she did not show up drunk. But she did not show up drunk. Hannah was not drunk. Let me make it clear, she was not drunk. Eli the priest, and then he opened his mouth, like we do sometimes. Be honest, we all do this sometimes. He talked too quick. That's what he did. He talked too quick. He judged her without knowing her full story. Hannah was not drunk. Eli the priest looked and then opened his mouth and judged her wrong. He accused her wrong. It was a false accusation. They could have easily had a tragic ending. Accusation, they could have easily had a tragic ending. So glad it didn't. But what if, you know, I like to make you think on prolific fire, but what if Hannah, after being falsely accused, had decided that enough is enough and went out and took her own life? Well, we're going to talk about a serious subject, man, on tonight. What if Hannah had, after being falsely accused, you know what, enough is enough, and went out and took her own life? Enough of being harassed by Peninnah, enough of having a husband who didn't understand, enough of having a husband who never came to her defense. Because, I mean, you have to wonder, when you read this text, What was Elkanah's, her husband's, reaction to Peninnah, his other wife, always picking on Hannah? I mean, you have to wonder. They were all there together, and he heard her picking on her. You have to wonder, what was his reaction to Peninnah, his other wife, always picking on Hannah? Sure. He gave Hannah, the Bible says in the NIV, a double portion of meat, twice as much as he gave Peninnah, because he loved Hannah. I'm not questioning whether he loved her or not. My question is, I wonder what was his reaction to the way that Peninnah was treating Hannah. In other words, he provided for her well. That's not the question. Provision is not what your wife needs. Because sometimes, husband, provision is not what your wife needs. Sometimes she needs you to come to her defense. Sometimes she needs you to come to her defense. Defend her. Let whoever is coming against her know that you don't play about her. Let them know that this is my wife, and I don't play about her. You want to know how I know he wasn't doing that? Because if Elkanah had opened his mouth and defended Hannah and Brown as the head of the household, Hannah would have backed off. Penina would have backed off if he would have just put a little bass in his voice and stood his ground with her as the head of the household. She would have backed off. But because Elkanah wasn't opening his mouth and using his God-given authority as head of their household, we read in tonight's foundational text how Penina was being relentless. She was being ruthless on purpose in the way that she attacked Hannah. So what if Hannah had said, enough is enough. Enough of being barren and being made fun of by Penina. Enough of being harassed only to come here to the tent of the Lord, the Lord's house, the church, and be falsely accused of being drunk. She was already going through with Penina. Then she comes there after traveling 20 miles or so with them. She comes there to the tent of the Lord, the Lord's house. She comes there to the church only to be falsely accused of being drunk. Think about it. Judas, after trying to return 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, who showed no compassion for what he was going through in that moment. He did what Hannah didn't do. He did. He went out and hung himself. The scripture says he did went away and hung himself. He went away and hanged himself. Matthew 27, verses 3 through 5, NIV. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed innocent blood. What is that to us, they replied. That's your responsibility. So Judas threw the money in the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. Which leads me to say this first statement. Always lead with compassion. Always lead. If you're a leader, you're a leader. Always lead with compassion. Because you don't know what the other person is going through. Always lead with compassion because you don't know what that other person is going through. When enough is enough, and they are on the verge of ending it all, you don't know when they have come to their breaking point. When enough is enough, and they are on the verge of ending it all. The Bible says in Psalm 145, verse 8 through 9, NIV, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. So always lead with compassion. Not sometimes, but always lead with compassion. Definition of compassion. Compassion literally means to suffer together. Among emotion researchers, it is defined as the feeling that arises when you are confronted with another's suffering and feeling motivated to relieve that suffering. Compassion is, in other words, you dropping your pride, dropping your ego in spite of your title, and acting like that person is you, and doing everything you can to help them, not hinder them or cause them harm, or cause them any further harm. You see, God had compassion. God had compassion on Adam and Eve when he chose to cover them instead of further disclosing their nakedness. God had compassion on Adam and Eve when he chose to cover them instead of further disclosing their nakedness. Genesis 3, verse 21. When was the last time as a leader in the Lord's house you chose to cover that one that had messed up? Instead of further disclosing their business. You didn't put their business across the pulpit, but you chose to cover that one that had messed up instead of further disclosing their business. Love covers a multitude of sins. 1 Peter 4 and 8. If you are a real pastor, you are supposed to have God's heart. You see, if you're a real pastor, you're supposed to have God's heart. And I will give you pastors according to my heart, to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Jeremiah 3 and 15, King James Version. Feed them with knowledge and understanding. Feed them how God wants you to feed them, with knowledge and understanding. So I'm going to ask you this question. When was the last time you understood or you tried to understand, along with knowledge, what they were going through, what the people in the congregation were going through, what your mentee was going through, what that person that you have influence over was going through? Keep in mind, Judas' last stop before hanging himself. Keep in mind, think about this. Judas' last stop before hanging himself was the temple. It was the church where he encountered chief priests and elders who had no compassion. They took no responsibility for their actions. They didn't take responsibility for their part in it. They took no responsibility for their actions, but blamed everything on him. Don't be this kind of leader. Don't be this kind of leader. They were not right. They were crooked. Don't be this kind of leader. It's already been established in tonight's foundation of text that Hannah was not drunk. But here's the question that the Holy Spirit is pushing me on tonight to ask you, to ask leaders, to ask pastors on tonight. Come on now. I said it one time, but you know I like to make you think on Politifier. So think about this. She wasn't drunk. The foundation of the text says she wasn't drunk. We just read it. It says she wasn't drunk. But here's my question to you tonight. But what if she was? She wasn't drunk, but what if she was? What if Hannah had showed up in the Lord's temple, the Lord's tent, at the church? What if she had showed up at the church high? What if that had been her way of crying out for help? What if that had been her way, the only way she knew to cry out for help? How would you respond as a leader, as a pastor, as someone that has influence over the Lord's people? How would you respond? Would you openly rebuke her for being drunk in the Lord's house, in the temple, in the tent, like Eli did? Keep in mind, it's not your house. I ain't trying to be funny, but the Holy Spirit said to remind you, it's not your house. It's the Lord's house. And in Psalms 145 and 9 from God's Word translation, it says, the Lord is good to everyone. The Lord is good to everyone and has compassion for everything that he has made. So the rules that you would enforce in your house, sir, ma'am, the rules you would enforce in your house, at your house, on your property, don't apply to the lower town. Because, again, the Holy Spirit told me to remind you to keep in mind that it's not your house, the lower town. You're supposed to be working for the Lord. That's not your house. That's his house. So the rules that you would enforce at your house, in your house, on your property, don't apply to the lower town. The Lord would want her to stay. The Lord would want her to stay. As long as she is not posing a threat physically to others, as long as she is not posing a threat physically to others, the Lord would want her to stay. Let her stay right there in the Lord's house, in his house, drunk, in his house, high. Let her stay in prayer. Let her stay in praise and worship. Let her stay as the word goes forth. Don't put out. Let her stay. And your job as a leader, as a pastor, after God's own heart, is to restore her. Your job is to not accuse her, because you might be accusing her wrong until you heard the whole story, until you got the full picture. Your job is to restore her and to think about where the Lord brought you from. You haven't always been the person that you are now. How did you show up before the Lord? Were you drunk? Were you high? Were you promiscuous? How did you show up before the Lord? As I said, your job as a leader, as a pastor, after God's own heart, is to restore her. Your job is to send the word. Your job is to send the word, because the word healed all without any discrimination. It was the word that delivered all. Even when Jesus healed, it was the word healing, because the Bible says that Jesus was the word that became flesh. Psalms 107:20, New King James Version. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. The last thing you want as a leader, as a pastor, or as someone that has influence over the Lord's people, the last thing you want is to overlook that person's cry for help just because it doesn't fit with proper church protocol. Just because it doesn't fit with the rules of the church. Stop being church-minded and become kingdom-minded. Stop being, in this new decade, in this new period of time, 2024, you have to stop being church-minded and become kingdom-minded. Because the king, because in the king, who is the head of the kingdom, there is mercy. There is compassion, there is patience, and forgiveness. The kind of mindset that you need as a leader, the kind of mindset you should always strive to have when dealing with God's people. When you're dealing with God's people, you should strive to have what? You should strive to have mercy, compassion, patience, and forgiveness. Mercy, compassion, patience, and forgiveness. According to Psalms 145:8, from God's Word Translation, the Lord is merciful, compassionate, patient, and always ready to forgive. I like that part. He's always ready to forgive. Healing from false accusations, a cry for help, tonight's message. Father God, heal every trace, every memory, every trigger that serves as a reminder what they have been through. Heal the trust issues they are currently struggling with. Heal their self-esteem and the damage done to it by way of false accusations, judging, and by way of gossip. Deliver every leader, every pastor that was unfair in their judgment, cruel in the way that they rebuked, and blind to what they needed to see and say, and blind to what they needed to hear. Deliver them. Remove their heart of stone. Replace it with a heart of flesh, so that they, as leaders, will be able to feel the people.
feel your people, to have compassion on your people. Ezekiel 36:26, NIV. Cause a great spirit of repentance to fall on leaders, to fall on pastors in this hour. Right now, Father, do it for those that have been injured, for those that have been harmed unfairly, for those that have been rebuked unfairly. I notice that your word speaks of rebuking, but when it's unfair, it's unfair. There's a time and a place and a way to do everything. Deliver them. Heal them all. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I pray this word bless somebody that heals somebody's spirit. And I pray that if you need to, you'll go back and listen to it again, even listen to the music. I tried to play music that would minister to your spirit as well on tonight. So listen to it, take it in and receive it, and be healed of false accusations. I don't care where it came from. If you know that they lied on you, do not receive it into your spirit. Don't let it hinder you, because the Lord knows the truth. He knows the truth. He knows exactly what happened. He knows exactly what's going on with you. He knows what you struggle with and what you don't struggle with. Most of all, he knows you. And he knows that other person too. So you don't have to seek vengeance. Put it in the hands of the Lord and heal. Heal, beloved. Get delivered. And watch God deal with the other situation. Watch him do it for you. You have to trust him and just go on. Not as if it didn't happen, but go on in spite of. If somebody's listening to me and you need prayer, you can send in your prayer request at prolificfire.com, and I will respond via email as soon as possible. And then into prolificfire.com is a spot on the website that asks you to type out your prayer request and send it in, and it will come directly to me. If you desire to sow into this word, into this ministry, you can also do that by going to prolificfire.com, or you can use PayPal, paypal.me/prolificfire, or use the Cash App. It's a dollar symbol, and prolificfire, the P in prolific is capital, the F in fire is capital, prolificfire. If you don't get the prayer request in to me, or even if you do, still join my sister in ministry, Prophetess Faith, for prayer and encouragement. All the encouragement I didn't give you tonight, all the prayers you didn't get tonight, because you know there's much to pray about these days. Call in. Even if you get your prayer request taken care of, call in and be in the atmosphere and get some extra prayers and extra encouragement. On Faith on the Line, Friday night, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific. I call in the same number that many of you called tonight. Thank you. The number is 347-426-3782. 347-426-3782. 347-426-3782. Don't worry if that was too fast for you. It's going to be posted on all my social media platforms. So don't worry about it. Then join me back here on Prolificfire, same night, time, and place. Because God has more to say. To God be the glory. And remember, you are loved, even if you don't love yourself. To God be the glory. Amen. I'm out.